this morning and like us to open up to Gospel of John. Gospel of John is really an awesome book. It's probably, how many of you was the first book you read like when you started the Bible? How many of you started with the Gospel of John? One, two, three. Some of you started with the Gospel. Good. It's really a wonderful book to start with. And the reason is John really provides us with some very powerful statements. Very, very powerful. The first series of statements that John starts with really is really about the person of Christ. Amen? Like who he is. Light of the world, bread of life. I mean, John really clearly defines who Jesus Christ is. Amen? So oftentimes people come to Christmas and they don't really know who Christ is. John, number one, gives us a series of very powerful statements. Amen? By the time you finish the book of John, if you started with the question, who is this child? You have the answer. Amen? Amen? Very clear. But I also want to talk with you about the second set of statements that John makes. And we need to know those too. They're life-changing ones for sure. It really has to do with not only, the second set has to do with, okay, if this is who Jesus is, okay, he's the light of the world, he's the bread of life, he's the word of God, he's all those. The key is what? When you accept him into your life, now he what? He lives inside of you. And we need to understand the reality of that too. Amen? Not just who he is, but as he comes and lives inside us, like, how does that change our life? How many know you need to know both? Sometimes people know the first piece, they know who God is, but they really don't understand the impact, right? How many of you understand the impact? If you know the Gospel of John, how many of you know the impact then? If Jesus is who John says he is, that Jesus is living in you. How many of you know the impact of that? Very, very powerful. Very powerful. John presents Jesus just in this gospel, just in chapter 1, in three ways. First way, so clear. Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's say that together. In the beginning was the, and the Word was with God, and the Word. So what he's saying is, Jesus Christ is what? Word of God. And that Word comes, communicates to us the love that God has for us. Amen? That's an awesome gift that we have in Jesus as the Word. But he not only talks about Jesus as the Word, he's also going to talk about him as light. In John chapter 1, verse 9, it says that the true light, I wanted to emphasize the true light. How many of you know there's lots of lights around today? I'm not talking about all the lights people talk about. I'm going to talk to you about the true light. Amen? John says the true light gives light to who? Every man. And that light was coming into the world. Let's say that together. The true light gives light to every man. And that light was coming into the world. Let's say it again so you memorize. Let's get it, okay? Let's say it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The Greek word for light is phos, P-H-O-S, and that light means divine radiation. Is that awesome? It means divine brightness. Amen? We could never compare it to that light. You understand that? This light is human light. Amen? We're not talking about human light. We're talking about phos. We're talking about Jesus Christ as what? Divine light. Supernatural light. spiritual light. Amen? That light was coming into the world. And John wants everybody to know that. He's not only the Word, but He is light. And one of my favorite scriptures is verse 5. So good, isn't it? The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness could not overcome it. Amen? Jesus comes as the light to the world, and He comes for who? Everyone. And the light shines where? Where's the light shine? The light shines in the... And the darkness could not what? Could not overcome it. Amen? How many know? When Christ came, He comes as what? The light of the world. And when He comes, no matter how dark it is, what? That darkness could not be stopped. You understand that? And could not... Nothing was going to stop it. Nothing could overtake Him. Amen? You understand that? That light, Jesus Christ coming in. You could not stop it. Amen? It was unstoppable. And as He comes, we know that John says that that light's going to shine brightly. Amen? Think about that. And I want you to also think about not just who He is, but also remember what? The implication for your life. Amen? Because that light also lives where? In you, correct? You not only need to know who Jesus is, but you need to know what's been imputed to you because of who Jesus Christ is. And now Jesus says what? You are the light of the world. Amen? Now how many of you know you might go through a time of darkness? Could you go through a dark time in your life? Yes. But that light of Jesus Christ that is living in you will what? Always shine. Do you understand that? Always. You might go through a hard time. It might get difficult for you. But that light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness, what? Cannot overcome it. Do you understand that? Do you have any idea like what that really means? It is awesome. Awesome. Can you get your mind wrapped around that? How many can get your mind wrapped around those things? He's the Word. The Word lives in me. He's the light. The light lives in me. Yes, the dark, the world is dark, but that light is going to shine. Amen? Can you wrap your mind around any of that? How many even, I mean, that's awesome stuff, right? How many can wrap your mind around these things? So awesome. So awesome. I just love the Gospel of John. And so this morning, I want to continue. We know He's the Word. We know He's the light of the world. This morning, I really want to address what I think is one of the most profound truths of the Gospel of John. And that is that Jesus is not just the Word, not just light, but He is what? The life. Okay, let's say life. I keep saying to my wife, He's the life. And she said, He's the light. I say, no, honey. He's the life. She said, you're saying light. I say, no, He's the life. So I want to be clear. If my diction is not good, today I want to talk about Jesus as life. Can you hear me clearly? Where's my wife? She's not here. Good. I kept saying to her last night, life. And she said, He's the light? I said, no, honey, He's the life. He's the light? No, honey, He's the life. I know. It's all right. And I want to talk to you. He's the true life. Amen? True life. You know, I think about today in our society. How many know people have various views of Christmas? They do, don't they? Some people, like, they think Christmas is about parties. Right? How many know people, they think Christmas is about what? Parties. So if Christmas is about party, then either you have to give one, or you have to go to one. Right? If it's about parties, well, I don't want to be left out, then you better give a party. Or you say, well, I don't want to be left out, well, I better know someone who is giving a party, because I need to get to that party, because Christmas is about party. It's about family and friends. Right? Now, some other people don't think it's about parties. They actually think it's about gifts. Some of you know there are a lot of people like that. When they think about Christmas, they're thinking about what? They got to give gifts, right? Isn't that right? Think about if you're not a Christian. What are you going to do? You're going to always be trying to fight. You're going to go to your kids. You're going to say, what do you want for Christmas, right? And then they're going to tell you what they want. And then if you have the money, you're going to go out and buy it. And some of you, if you don't have the money, you're still going to go out and buy it. And you're going to get in debt, right? And at the end of Christmas, you're going to say, whoa, I spent too much money. I mean, that's what happens, right? You see, because they believe Christmas is about stuff, giving gifts. How many of you know we live in a post-Christian era? I was so happy to do last night, because it was clear. We live in a postmodern society. People celebrate Christmas, what? Without Christ. You all know that, right? Our whole society wants to celebrate Christmas without Christ. You can't say Christ in the schools anymore, right? You can't go to a building and mention Christ, right? They don't want you to say Christ, right? I was with somebody the other day, and I said, gee, Merry Christmas. And they went, have you had anyone do that? I was like shocked. They said, what did I say? Oh, you said, Merry Christmas. We don't say that anymore. I go, They shocked me, and I was shocked by them. And all that's because what? We live in a post-modern culture. They want Christmas without Christ. Amen? That's where we're at. You know, I was thinking, I love singing the Christmas song. How many know no one sings Christmas songs anymore? We can't do that anymore. Think about that. I grew up with Christmas songs. I sang them my whole life. Now I sing them and I go, I mean, when I was young, I would think, boy, everyone's singing Christmas songs. Isn't this great? I took it for granted. Guess what? I don't take it for granted anymore. Guess what? This society doesn't even know the Christmas songs. You understand that, right? Because it is a society without Jesus Christ. You understand that. So, this morning, I want to be sure that as followers of Christ, we really understand the Gospel of John. Because John's Gospel is going to clearly tell you who this baby is. Amen? When you read that Gospel of John, that's why people say, well, you're going to read a Gospel. Start with the Gospel of John. Why? Because, I mean, you know, John is going to be really clear about who Jesus is. When you read that, you will have to come away. Well, it's amazing, really. It's amazing. So let's open up and let's read John's perspective, God's perspective on really what Christmas is about. You all have your Bibles? Let's go to the Gospel of John, first chapter, and let's read. Let's just go through, let's just read verse 1 through 5. So you already know the first verse, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's clearly saying that Jesus Christ is the Word, the communication of God Himself. Amen? And then he says, Jesus was with God from when? The beginning. Amen? How many know Jesus had no end, no beginning? He was always there. That speaks of His divinity. Amen? He was always there. Even before the world was created, where was Jesus? He was always there. Can you imagine that? Before this world even came to be, before you were here, He was. Do you understand that? He was there. He was with God in the beginning. Now, verse 3 will blow you away. Through Him, right? What? All things were made. Let's say that together. Let's say this together. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, what? Nothing was made that has been made. Isn't that awesome? So what? Through Him, what? All things were made. And without Him, nothing was ever made. Isn't that awesome? speaks of really who Jesus Christ was. Now, here's my favorite verse. We know he's the Word. We know he's light. Then he says, John says, what? In him. Let's say it. In him was life. In him was what? Life. See, and that life. Do you understand this? That life was what? Light of the world. See the transition? We talked about Jesus as light. Where did that come from? Life. And that life that Jesus Christ gives you and me is what? The light of the world. Do you understand all that? It's very simple. But we need to meditate on it and understand it. Amen? Because it's simple, but it's very, very deep. And then he said, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it or comprehend it. Could not. Isn't that awesome? So we know Jesus is the Word, according to John. We know Jesus Christ is the light, divine, supernatural light, come into the world. Darkness couldn't overcome it. Amen? And now we know he is life. I mean, you know, Jesus says life. Life. Wow. Jesus comes into the world as life. In him is what? In him. In him is what? In him is life. John uses the word life 36 times. 36 times in this one gospel. Can you imagine that? How many? 36. Let me give you a few. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the but through me. Who is Jesus? Clear. He is the way, he is truth, and he is life. No one comes to the Father but through him. John 6:48. Jesus said, I love this. I am the bread of life. You all know that scripture? Jesus said what? I am the bread of, what kind of bread is he? Life bread. Amen? Not just regular bread you need. He said, I myself am the bread of life. Isn't that awesome? He who believes in me, think about it. I am the bread of life. He who believes in me has what? What kind of life? Let's get that clear. He who believes in me has what? Everlasting life. What kind of life did Jesus come for? Everlasting life. How many know that's awesome life? Awesome. How long is it going to last? Forever and ever and ever. Amen? And that life is where? Where is that life? Let's get it right. Where is the life? The life is where? In him. He is the source of what? Life. He's the source. The Greek word here, and I love it, it's one of my favorite words. It's zoe. The Greek word for light is what? I told you in the beginning, who knows? What is it, Donna? No, light. Excuse me. Let's get my diction okay. Greek word for light. Light. L-I-G-H-T. I'm going to spell it out. Is what? Pho. The Greek word for life is zoe. Z-O-E. And when Jesus says that he was life, he's saying zoe actually means divine life. Okay, zoe means spiritual life. Okay, zoe means supernatural life. And he said that supernatural life is going to last for how long? Forever and ever and ever. Can you get a hold of this at all? Jesus did not get life from anybody. You understand that, correct? You understand that. He got life from what? Nobody. No one gave Jesus life. You understand that, right? Correct? He what? He is life. No one gave it to him. He is it. From the very beginning of time, whenever time ever started, he was there. He was life. Before the world began, he was life. He was the source of all of life. There was not a person he got it from. He's the initial reason. Amen? No one gives him light. John says, in him is life. I love that. Can you put your mind around that? I think one aspect of the life, the Zoe of Jesus, is that Jesus is able to take something that's dead and breathe into it and give it life. Is that not right? Is that awesome? One aspect is what? He can actually take something that's what? Dead. And then he could breathe into that person, and out of that person's life would come life. How many of you understand that? Do you understand that? Who can do that? There's only one person that can do this. Nobody else can do this in the whole wide world. Only one person can do it. Who is it? Jesus. And why can he do it? He can do it because he is life. And so as he speaks, as he breathes, what comes out? Life. So he could take a dead man, speak to that dead man, and out of that dead man would come what? Life. Do you understand that? That's what happened with Lazarus, is it not? Lazarus was dead, correct? How long was he dead for? 4 days. He's where? For 4 days. He's in the grave for 4 days. He's decomposing. Do you understand that? Dead for how many days? And what does he have when he's dead? Dead means what? He has no... He can't speak, can he? He can't say anything. Nothing. He is, essentially, he's what? He's dead. He has what? No life. He's dead. And Martha's all worried about him. Martha says, oh, one day, you know, he'll have life. And Jesus said, no. No, don't, Martha, you don't get this. I am the, what did Jesus say to her? I am the resurrection. No, I am the resurrection. Read your Bible. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 11 verse 25. As he's dead, as he's in the grave, as he's decomposing, he's dead. There's nothing in him. Nothing. Jesus looks at Martha and says in John 11 25, what? I am the resurrection. And I am not only the resurrection, but I want to be clear with you. I am what? I am life. John says it in verse 4. In him is life. Jesus says, I am life. I speak to him. He's dead. I speak. My word goes into him and brings him life. Do you understand that? He is dead. Could he bring himself life? Could anybody bring him life? Who could give the man life? Nobody except Jesus. Do you understand that? Why? Because he is life. In him is life. Is that awesome? I don't know about you, but it blows me away. I want to encourage you today. How many of you feel empty? How many of you feel like you're running low? Yeah, I said, come on, let's go. Let's worship. You guys are like, we're a little tired. We're exhausted. So you are, come on, be honest. Are you exhausted? Are you tired? Are you a little down? Okay, well, let's get clear on this. That's fine. So, but let's get clear. What do you need? What do you need? You need what? Life. So where do you get your life? Oh, get this clear, because not everybody understands this. I have Christian people all the time say to me they're exhausted, they're dying, they lost hope, they're half empty. I go like, automatically in my mind, I'm like, what? You need life. And what am I saying? You need Jesus. Because Jesus is life. In him is life. But you need to know where you got to go, right? Some people don't know where to go. They get tired, they're exhausted. How many of you are like this too? How many of you are saying, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, you still don't know where to go? Just because, you see, just because you can understand you're empty, you also need to understand what? Where to go. Right, Jay? You can't just say, I'm empty, I'm down, I'm lonely. You can say that, but you need to know what? Where to go. You need to know who to go to. Amen? How many of you are practicing this? This is what every Christian should practice, right? If you know that Jesus is what? Life. Then how do you get that life? If Jesus is life, and in him is life, and he's the resurrection and the life, and he's the bread of life, and he wants to give you life, then all you need to do is what? Spend a little time with them. It's very simple. I know the world is complicated, but I know Jesus is very simple in many, many ways. So all you and I have to do is what? Just spend a little time. How many of you do this? How many of you have the spiritual discipline of spending time with the Lord? See, you should. It's very simple. You just get a chair. I do this every day. I just sit in the chair and I go like, I'm wiped out, Lord. I can't take another thing. I'm done. I've had it. Things aren't going well in my life, God. And what am I doing? I'm pouring out my heart to God. But as I'm pouring out my heart to him, what am I also doing? I'm receiving what? Life. Do you understand that? How many of you have done it? You should do it. Every Christian needs to know how to do this. This just isn't for me. This is for every believer. Because if you're tired and exhausted and you're empty and you don't know where to go, then you're not getting better. You're not going up. You're going down. Now you say you know about Jesus. But do you know he is life? And do you know you can receive that life? How many of you have had the experience where you go before God, you pour out your heart, and as you're there and you're reading his word, he is the word, amen? That's one of the things I do. I take my word. I say, God, I'm gonna read this word. Right? And as I'm reading the word, what's happening? Life is coming where? Into my heart, into my soul. It's giving me vitality. It's renewing me. Amen? And when I get up, I'm not the same anymore. Do you understand? Why? Because Jesus is life. And Jesus wants to give me what? Life. Jesus wants to give me what? Life. What's he want to give you? Death? Life. So he only gives Pastor Dan life. No. He's come to give everybody light and life. You just need to learn how to receive it. So you don't stay down. You don't stay half empty. You don't stay discouraged. You get full of the life that God has for you. Do you understand? Because in him is what? If you go in, how many of you have had the problem where you've gone inside yourself? How many know the difference between going inside yourself and going into God? Sometimes I love people, they go, I'm just really getting into myself. I'm really down and things aren't going well. I'm getting really into myself. Yeah, where are you going? You're going where? You're going down. Because in yourself is what? Death. There's no life in you, amen? Jesus said the only life comes from who? Him. He is life. He is the resurrection. In him is life. Is that not what he said? Does that not blow you away? How many of you are practicing this? Like really? Like you get it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Right now, this world is crazy. I don't have to tell you that, right? Right? It's a mess. The question is not the condition of the world. We know what that is. The condition is the condition of your soul. Do you have life? Are you getting life from God? Because I want to be clear with you, as John was. Jesus Christ is life, divine, supernatural, spiritual life. If he could do that and pour that into that dead man, how many know he can do it to you? All God's people said. Life. Now the second thing I want you to see here, this is awesome. When we speak about Jesus as life, we've got to realize that Jesus, I don't know if you understand this or not, but I want you to get this because you may not understand this. Okay, because this is powerful. This is going to blow you away if you understand the Word of God. Jesus Christ has the power to create what? Everything. And he not only has the power to create it, how many know he can sustain it? Do you understand it? He can do two things. He can what? Create it. And he can? Could he not create life? Yes. The Bible's clear on that. John is perfectly clear. How does John say it? Through him. Let's read it together. Verse 3. Through him, what? All things were. So how was everything made? How was everything? Let's get this down. How was everything made? Everything. Underline the word everything, because when God says everything, what does he mean? Does he mean a little bird? Does he mean a chipmunk? Does he mean a tree? Does he mean a squirrel? Does he mean you? He brings life to what? He has created what? Everything. Is that not what it says? Through him all things were made. Now, without him, think about it. Nothing. Without him, nothing. Jesus is, he creates it. The Greek word here is ex nihilo. You know what it means, ex nihilo, when it says he creates? Ex nihilo. Think about it. I'm going to take Latin. I grew up with Latin. I was almost kill me. Ex nihilo. What does it mean? Donna's smart. Ex nihilo means what? Out of. So when God says he creates all things, how does he do it? Does he need parts to put them together today? No. He does it what? Out of nothing. Do you understand that? When John says that he is life, and through him he creates everything, he actually means ex nihilo. He can, out of nothing. Oh, and what has he created? No, everything. Now our society obviously has a different opinion. You understand that, right? A lot of opinions. I'm sure you've heard them. I'm sure you know people tell you, well, the world was created this way and that way. I mean, how many know Hollywood has an answer? How many know your newspaper has an answer? How many know your TV has an answer? The truth is, what? Who creates it? God creates. Jesus creates it. God creates. Jesus creates it. Everything that exists comes into being, what? Through him. Everything exists, he made. It all comes from him. Everything. Do you understand? Everything comes from him. Why? He is life. Ex nihilo. He is the only one who can create. I love this. Amen. Think about that for a minute. Get your mind around that. He can do anything. How many know God can do anything? Jesus can do anything. Let's say you needed a river. Could he create a river for you? I mean, out of nothing I'm talking about. Like, it wasn't there before, and now it's there. Does he have the ability to do that? Serious. Could he do it? So, could he? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Could he have the ability to make food for you? What if you were thirsty? Could he actually say, well, Jay, I'm going to get a river for you, buddy. Could he do that? What if he knew you needed sleep? Jay, I got a perfect bed for you. It's not there now, but I have it there for you. Could he do that? He can do what? He can do everything. Why? Because he creates. Don't forget, ex nihilo. He can do it out of what? Nothing. Do you understand that? Does that not blow you away? I don't know about you, but it totally blows me away. What if something was crooked? Could he make it straight? No, it's crooked. No, it's crooked. The life is crooked. Could he take a crooked life and actually make it straight? Could he actually do that? He could, yes. Wow. Could he remove an obstacle in your life? You're looking like, oh, I've got all these mountains in front of me. Nothing's working out. Does God have the ability to remove that mountain? Like just totally take it away from you. Could God do that? Why? He is life. He actually has the power to do what? Anything. All things with him are possible. For man, it's what? Impossible. But for him, it's. Why is it possible? Because he is life. He is Zoe. He actually has the power to do it. He could speak it into existence and it would come. How many of you are dealing with situations now and you're like, I don't think it's going to work out. Oh, it's too hard. I don't think that situation is going to work out. You don't know what I'm going through. You know what I'd like to say to you? No, no. You do not know who God is. That's the real issue. The problem's not the issue. You and I don't know who He is. Because if you knew who He was, you'd be fine. And all God's people said. Why? Because He is life and life is in Him. And He can do anything. How do you do that one? There are times I do this. I go, you know what I need when I hit a road and I think it's really hard? I know what I need. What do I need? The road's hard. I don't think I'm going to get through this. Tell me what I need, Jay. I need the Word. I need life. How do you get it? Well, one way you get it is that book right here. I showed you the first. You just sit down. You let that book saturate into your heart. You let God change you through that. Amen. Let Him bring you life and lift you up. How many know there's another way of doing it? One of my favorite ways is I just start singing. How many know that'll bring you life? Have you ever been down in the dumps and just started singing? Like, you know what? I'm really down. My emotions are down. Yeah, but I know God is life. So what do you do when you know God is life, when you're down emotionally? You start singing. How many know the power of singing? And I really want to say to you, God's not concerned about your voice. I hear people, oh, I can't sing. Neither can I. But it doesn't matter. What do I want? Life. Have you ever started singing, just singing spontaneously? How many of you know how to sing spontaneously? Like, you're in the car. You're in the bathroom. You're walking down the street. You're in a store. How many of you know the power of singing spontaneously, where you just sing out to the Lord, and you're down, and you're worried? But as you sing, what happens? The life of God goes where? Inside of you. And the problem you thought was so big, all of a sudden the Lord says, I'll take care of that. I'll work. I'll speak. I'll help. I'll remove the mountain. How many know the power of that? That is called a spiritual discipline. I believe some Christians don't have it. And I think they are in trouble. But I want to say to you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you must know who He is, and that life that He has, He wants to what? Give to you. Amen? And sometimes you sing for it. Now, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Woo! You know the power of that? You're singing who God is. How about this one? I love this one. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens river's door, sets the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Whoa! And life abundantly. You know something? How many of you know the power of that discipline? Why? Because you know where life is. You sing for it sometimes. I love singing. Now my kids think I'm crazy, obviously. What's he doing? Oh, he's singing. He can't sing for a lick. Ah, that doesn't matter to my dad. And it shouldn't matter to you either. Amen? When you're low, when you're facing things that are difficult and hard, you sing to the praise of your God. And let the life of Jesus Christ that is in Him come in you and change you. And all God's people say. Amen. Now, as He said all this, I want to just say to you, number three, is that when Jesus comes as life, He comes so that we might believe, and I really want you to get this one, but not only believe. Some of you have only believed, and you are in trouble. Not only for you to believe, but for you to
Receive.
I told you that in the beginning. Right? I said you have to believe who God is, and then you have to receive it. How do I know that? John 20:31. Here's what it says. These things are written. Tell me why the whole Bible was written. Why did John write? Tell me why John wrote. That what? You. Is that what it says? That you may believe. Is that what the Bible says? That you may believe. What do you want to believe? That Jesus is the life. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the resurrection. He's the bread. He's the river. He's the life. That you might believe that. I love that. Amen. Son of God. Oh, but I love that next part. You got to get the second part down. I told you. And that by believing, what? You may have life. Some people only got the first half down. Get them both down. Amen. The first half is what? Why was it all written? Why is all it? He's the Word of God. He's the life. He's the resurrection. He's the bread. Why was all that written? So that what? You might believe. Now, I know certain people read the Bible. And they come to a conclusion what? What's their conclusion? I don't believe. Okay, that's their choice. How many know people choose that? I want to say to you, you do not choose that. The whole book was written for what? So that you might believe. Why was it written? So that you might believe. The most important thing about you? Tell me what the most important thing about you is. It's what you believe. Tell me what you believe about God, and I can tell you something about you. What do you believe? Tell me one thing you believe about God. One. You believe God is love. So if he believes God is love, how is that going to change his life? If God is love, and he believes God is love, and God is living in him, how will that change his life? He will start to do what? Love others. Why? How do I know that? Because it's the most important thing about him. It's what he believes about God. Because I'll guarantee you what you believe about God will impact your life. I'll tell you this. If you say, I don't believe in God, I can show you a life that's totally messed up. Why? Because I know what people believe affects how they live. You understand that? And a man or a woman without faith is going to live primarily for themselves. And if a man or a woman lives for themselves, they are definitely going to mess up their whole life. You understand that, right? And a man or a woman who says, no, I understand who Jesus is. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's the light of the world, the Word. I believe he came as life, as the resurrection. What's that going to do? It's going to change everything. Amen? You understand that, correct? You have that? And yes, people will read the Bible and say they don't believe. But listen, they're empty. To read and say, well, I don't believe any of that. I really want, how many know that believing is a decision you make? You understand that? Let's get it down to practical terms. Believing is what? It's a decision you make. Could you decide you don't want to believe? Yeah, you could. Sure. You can decide that if you want. And I want to tell you something. God himself is not going to force you. You understand that, right? Why? He's given you a free will. He's not going to force you to do it. Does he want you to accept him? Does he want you to believe? Oh, yeah. But he can't force you, and he doesn't want to force you. Think about, what if he forced you? I'll force him to love me. I'll force him to believe. You're not going to love him anyways. You've been forced. So belief is a what? It's a decision. You decide. I believe. Right? And in that belief, now you can. Now you can do the second part. Because what does he says? For as many, for them that believe, now that you have believed, what? Now you can have, tell me what the Bible says. Now that you believe who Jesus Christ is, that life now lives in you. Amen. And now you have access to that life. And that life of Jesus Christ inside of you will see you through every single day of your life. Amen. Will it do it for today? Will it do it for yesterday? Will it do it for tomorrow? Will it do it for next week? Will it do it for 10 years? Will it deal for 10,000 years? It's going to go on for how long? Forever and ever and ever. Why? Because he is life. And that life, what? Never, ever ends. You understand that? I want to encourage you, live that out. The Lord is so good. Our salvation, yes, is based on faith. But I want to say to you, you know, it's more than... I love Christians. I'm saying, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And you look at them and they're half dead. I go like, something's really wrong here. You're telling me when you die, you're going to heaven, but you're dead now. Right? Right? Let's talk. Let's face it. They're dead now. You shouldn't be dead now. When did he come to give you life? When you die or now? When? Now. He didn't say when you get to heaven, I'll give you life. He says what? When you believe, I'll give you life. You don't have to wait to heaven. Thank goodness. I don't want to wait to heaven. I'll be dead. I'll be so empty by that time. Thank God he came to give it to me now. He said, John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, to the full. When? When you're dead? No. Now. He wants us to live that life. He wants to give us life. He doesn't want us. I say, oh, life is hard. Oh, I can't do anything. No, no. He's life. You go to him. You receive that life. Amen? It's divine life. It's a life that will change you supernaturally. Amen? Isn't it great? Listen, the Gospel of John is awesome. The truths in it are awesome. They're mind-boggling, really. In closing this morning, we have a special presentation for you. It really came out of the musical story we had, Story of Christmas, over Friday and Saturday. We saw the presentation. I was like, the whole church needs to see this. And as you're watching it, I want you to think about life. Think about Jesus as life.